everybody. Welcome to Morning Tea. I'm your host, Cassie Fullwood. I'm thrilled you dropped in. So grab your mug, bring your full self, and let's do this. Welcome to Morning Tea. I'm thrilled to have you with us. And I have a special guest. You're in for a treat. Her name is Tiffany White, right here from West Palm Beach, Florida. Tiffany is a mother. She is a pastor. She is an entrepreneur. Her business is Diligent Hand, where she provides virtual administrative support. She is also an influencer. You can find her in the social media world under Simply Tiffany. And the reason she's here today, Tiffany is an author. Let me tell you the titles of her book. She has authored and published three different books. The first one is entitled I Heart, and it stands for I Hold Expectations to Righteous Teaching. Her second book is The Court, The Camp, and The Throne. And the reason she's here tonight is we're going to drill down on her third book, which is entitled Hush Girl. You have the right to remain silent in life's questionable seasons. Let me say that again. Her third book is entitled Hush Girl. You have the right to remain silent in life's questionable season. Tiffany, I am so excited to have you here. Welcome to Morning Tea.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm really, really excited to be on. So just thank you for the opportunity to even be on Morning Tea. It's big.
Real, real good to have you. So tell me this. I know I said a lot about you, mom, pastor, influencer, entrepreneur, author. Tell us from your own standpoint of view, what do you want the viewers to hear? Tell us something about yourself.
Well, one thing that is I'm very passionate about, and well, I'm a servant of God, number one. Mm-hmm. I love God with all my heart. And, you know, I reflect on what God has done for me. And so one of my passions is to help other people uncover their identity or recover their identity. Being a young girl that struggled with identity issues and now to be in a place, get happy even thinking about it, to be in a place where I can say that I'm free for real, for real. Oh, my gosh. So I like to help people, you know, to do that. And I do it in my daily life, you know, raising my son, talking to my family, colleagues, and, you know, even in my writings, my books, I strive to do that. So, but one thing that, you know, has carried me through the whole journey of identity recovery, I like that, identity recovery, is my favorite scripture now. It hasn't always been my favorite scripture, but on the journey, it has become and grown to be my favorite scripture. And if you come to my home, it's all over the place. And it's Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So that scripture doesn't say a lot about me, but it tells people how I overcame. And that's what I want to be known for. Like a woman that learned how to be still in God's hands.
Wow. That verse actually ties directly into the title of your book. It sounds like you really learned some principles and having the word of God that goes hand in hand, being still. And the title says, Hush Girl. All right. Mm-hmm. As an icebreaker, I want to throw out some words to you and just off the cuff, whatever comes to your mind, you don't have to filter it. Tell me what you think when you hear these words.
Okay. How many seconds do I have?
One.
All right. Let's see.
All right. Diversity.
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 I don't know. What comes to mind is people. People are diverse.
I should have had my Jeopardy button. So that we can Jeopardy button. Yes, diversity.
Yeah. Oh, the first thing that comes to mind is when I hear diversity is people. People are diverse.
That's people. That. Very good. Courage.
Oh, my. Joshua.
Thank you. You can't think about it. Whatever comes out. Up and out. Up and out.
Okay. Okay.
Passion
of the Christ. Passion of the Christ.
I'm gonna take it. Passion of the Christ. Beauty.
Oh my gosh, I don't. Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. We're gonna take that. Just two more.
Okay.
Authenticity.
Genuine.
And the last one is femininity.
I don't know. It's just real basic. Women, ladylike, those things. Yeah.
It's no right or wrong answer. I just want to kind of do an icebreaker. And all the words is Women's History Month. So yeah. I wanted to throw out words. We're very diverse, diversity, courageous, full of passion, beautiful, beauty, authenticity, and femininity. So it was no right or wrong answer. I just wanted to, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are good conversation starters because I wanted to say a lot more when I heard them. But I'm like, one word, that's what stopped me.
So here we go. You're going to have a lot of opportunity to share from your heart as we dive into your book entitled Hush Girl, You Have the Right to Remain Silent in Life's Questionable Seasons. Hush Girl is your third book, and I want to congratulate you on that. Kudos
Thank
to you for
you.
That. And it's the reason we're here today. In a time when women's voice is on the rise, when women are in prominent positions, influential positions, and all spheres of influence, why do you think Hush Girl is relevant, and what is the premise of the book?
Yeah, I think Hush Girl is really relevant because as women's voices are on the rise, you think about, you know, the culture and where we stand now in the world. The world has given us so many platforms where we can use our voice. It's convenient to use our voice. And so you find a lot of women, whether they be famous women or just, you know, someone down the road, they're using their voice on social media platforms or blogs or whatever, you know, whatever's at their fingertips. And sometimes their voice, for lack of better words, their voice can be underdeveloped or undeveloped, meaning that, you know, you have the freedom to use your voice, but it's not necessary at a particular time, or you can use your voice, but your voice is not useful to the next person or who you are targeting your audience to. And so I wanted to present something that would let people know, like, hey, yeah, we have this freedom, but there are certain instances, especially when you're going through something in tough seasons of your life, where you don't necessarily have to use your voice. It's probably more beneficial to you if you remain silent, because the reason why we may go through tough times is that something needs to be revealed in us. And you can't do that by having your mouth go 90 miles per hour. You know, you got to be able to sit still and listen so that you can be developed. So not only using your voice can benefit other people, but if you learn silence and you learn how to be silent in those tough seasons, then your silence can be used to build you so that you'll be able to use your voice and be useful.
You know, I think in a nutshell, what you've communicated, that it's not a contradiction or a conflict. You just have to be sensitive, like the book says, in different seasons of your life. There may be I think you articulated it very well. There may be times in your life where even if you have the right platform or in the right arena or what I like to call the sphere of influence, there may be times that you may have to hold your tongue. And it doesn't mean you've lost the impact of your voice, because there's strength in silence. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree that there's strength in silence. You find your strength in silence.
You find yourself in silence, too.
There you go. You do. So, yeah.
All right. So there were so many different concepts that while reading the book, which I could not put down, once I picked it up, it's an easy read. It's a quick read. It's a lot of information that you are literally pouring out throughout those pages. But one of the concepts that I get a sneaking suspicion that it was very dear to your heart, because it seemed to be laced throughout the book, the concept of accountability. And in today's world, it seems that is going out the window. But here's the question I want to ask about the concept of accountability. How do you define it? How do you define accountability? And why is it important? why even care today? And then the second part of it, so definition, why is it important? And then the second part is, what is the difference between accountability and control? Because I tend to think the current generation shy away from it because they think people want to control them. So drill down on that for us.
Okay. So yeah, accountability is huge. It was major in my journey. And I think that is something that I've learned to really appreciate because I wasn't always a person that was really accountable. Like I would actually only show certain parts of my life that I wanted to be held accountable for, but I didn't give a person like my complete self, you know, all of me. So accountability, what I've learned in my own terms, what accountability is trusting someone with your future. And the reason why I say that is because you, whoever you choose to be accountable with or to rather, you see that, or you trust them to see you where you are. But also you see that they are not afraid to confront certain issues that would count you or make you stagnant to walk into your future or your destiny, that those issues that would be blockades or barriers to your destiny, they confront those issues. They hold you accountable. And not only that, but I said trusting, and that's an issue that I had for years, is trusting people. And so when you're accountable to somebody, you have to be trusting to them as well, because you want to be able to give them all of you. And I think, you know, nowadays, and maybe it's not so much nowadays, maybe it's just out there now because of all the stuff that's available. But I think that I wasn't the only one that had trust issues. Let me just say that. Like a lot of people are not trusting with other people or to other people with their full self. They have friends, but I was watching a broadcast yesterday or a TV show or something yesterday, and they were talking about the different levels of relationship. And they're saying, you know, that when you think of relationship, you think of it, a relationship taking you somewhere. It's a ship. And a lot of people are connected with these ships that are not going anywhere.
Oh, my.
And so I think about that with accountability. Accountability is important because it promises you that you will get to your destination. It promises you that you will arrive to the place that you see yourself being. And not only that, but all the more because the other person as well that you trust, they are able to see what you can't see. Like you're not able to see the full picture because you're in the picture. So you need somebody on the outside that's able to see the picture and also able to see what's inside you so that they can, you know, challenge those things. So, yeah, I think accountability is super important for those reasons. And it's something that we have to get back to. And I think it's just like a trust issue that we have to get back to. The second question.
Can I dive in here before you jump in on the second one?
Yes.
Here's what I heard you say. And I got to tell you, that definition is a mega definition. Trusting someone with your future. That's mega. Mm-hmm. And that's never going to happen if you've not dealt with your trust issues. Mm-hmm. So on your commentary that you gave, would you say you have to be choosy of the individuals that you're going to choose to lay yourself down in and trust? So you can, do I randomly choose? Do I survey? Do I evaluate? Because accountability is a big deal, because you said these people are going to, they see the bigger picture. They see what you can't see. So do I need to be choosy and picky about the individual? And what would you say are the qualities that I'm looking for in someone that I want to be able to trust with my future?
Yeah. So, That's a deep question, because I would say choosy, yes. But it really depends, because if you're picky, then you can, are you looking through your eyes, which could be, you know, tainted from what you really need? So you would definitely, I like the question where you say, like, what do I look for? Because, you know, you have to know beforehand what you, at least a baseline of what you're looking for. And I would say, like, you would need to find somebody that is consistent in who they are, somebody that's that resolve in who they are, somebody that is dependable, somebody that is loyal, somebody that is trustworthy and full of integrity. Integrity is a big one, you know, because if you have trust issues, you want to make sure that you connect with somebody that you can trust. And so they have to be integral. They have to, you know, be able to, you know, when they say something, they come through with it, or, you know, they have to have that quality that will build up your trust in them. And I got to say this as well, is that that person that you're trusting, you also, there's a level that you also have to be connected with God as well, because it's not going to. So there's a saying that says misery loves company. Mm-hmm. And so what I get from that saying is that you're used to being around people that are like you, and you attract people that are like you.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking to get better, you're not necessarily going to be the same person, or the person that's just going to hold you accountable. They're not going to be like your normal crowd or what you're used to, what you're familiar to. They're not going to be that, because they come to hold you accountable and pull you out of whatever you're in or whatever the case may be. And so you have to be able to, like, be sensitive to God as well as he's leading you, because he will lead you to the right person that you need to be connected with. And you know it's the right person. You'll know. I can't explain how you'll know, but you'll definitely know it's the right person. And another thing I'll say, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
Ooh, you got right into my next comment. Go ahead.
You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So look at their life. Like, you may want to step back and just observe. I'm an observer. So you want to step back and observe and see, okay, what results are their lives producing? Mm-hmm. And is that the result that I want in my life? Like, does that line up with what I see in my life?
I love the fact that you distinguish the difference between being picky and choosy and finding out what it is that you're looking for. Big distinction. One being critical or whatever, and one actually assessing, do they bring value? And I love that you nailed it in the head, in my viewpoint. What fruit do they have? What do you see? Mm-hmm. You know, why be, even if they are integral and honest and all of those things, if they're not producing fruit, do you want to trust this person with your future? I love that. So is there a difference between accountability and control?
Yes, there is a difference between accountability and control. I'm thinking in it as far as, like, the person that is, that you're accountable to. Accountability for me, it breeds freedom, while control is bondage. Like, mm-hmm. you don't, If somebody's controlling you, you're not free to be who you are. And a person that wants to, you know, hold you accountable, they give you space to be who you are so that they can see, you know, what they're dealing with, or, you know, things that need to be better for you. So there's a huge difference in accountability and control. And also on the other side of it, you know, if it's you that's being held accountable, you have to let go of control, you know, on your side of it. And that's another thing that ties in with trust issues, is that those that are not easily, they can't trust easy because they feel like they have to control everything. And I can say that because I had it. I know it. I lived it up close and personal.
Yes, me too.
So, and I can tell you that as long as I wanted to control the outcome of a relationship, mm-hmm. that accountability relationship, no relationship worked. So it's double-sided.
I will tell you, we're skating around the concept of, and that's what tonight's broadcast is about. It's about the different principles and concepts that are just screaming at you as you're reading through this book. And one that we're skating around is the issue of being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I mean, no relationship is productive. And when you don't trust, you're not vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And when you're not vulnerable in a relationship, it's really a time waster for you and the person, because you can never get to the reality or progression or to really make impact until both of you all are able to be vulnerable with each other. So, yeah, that lack of trust really speaks to not being able to be vulnerable. Let's go to our next question. There's a concept that I call the twin concept that as I was reading through your book that also grabbed my attention. That is self-awareness and identity. Were you always self-aware? That's one thing, because it's a big deal, especially to me. It's always been important. But with this comparison theory that everybody is struggling with in the world today, when I was reading through your book, I said, I've got to ask her about this twin concept that she has articulated so well, becoming self-aware and knowing your true identity. So I want to ask you, were you always self-aware, or did you have one aha moment, or was it a journey for you to finally realize who Tiffany was?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, becoming self-aware. I was not self-aware at all. And the problem is that I thought I was. I was deceiving myself. So being that I thought I was, if anybody came to me to address a certain situation, I was ready to just, you know, pounce back at them, because I thought that I was in the know. And that's crazy. You know, you live in this body, but if, like, for me, I had, like you said, problems with identity. So I'm living in this body, but I don't know myself. You know, I'm not letting myself flourish. I'm not letting myself live. So even if I thought it was a false self-awareness, mm-hmm. It was a false self-awareness, because it was built upon what I had thought that other people wanted me to be. It wasn't me. For me, it was no self-awareness, and that actually built self-awareness through my journey. And the journey included aha moments. I can remember different instances from different people. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, even with one person told me that I was, I forget how she said it, but I wasn't socially connected. I didn't have any social etiquette. Mm-hmm. She told me that, and I'm just like, you know, I'm chilling. Like, what are you talking about? But she actually broke it down, and that had always been something in the back of my mind as I went on my journey. So that was an aha moment for me, where, you know, the real me, or who I am, was being revealed to me. And so I had to address it. And the more that, you know, things were, you know, pointed out to me, and I was able to digest it because I was open to digest it, mm-hmm. That's when my identity started being revealed. And I think that is so key, because I think some people have the misconception that identity will be revealed overnight with you just doing the work yourself. Mm-hmm. No. You need people to help you point out, like I said before, point out those things. And then you have to have the right posture to receive those things. You have to, because a lot of people that, well, let me just talk about me. I came from a victim mentality. So I had a victim mentality. Let me just say that. I had a victim mentality. So a lot of the stuff that was pointed out to me, I didn't receive because that victim mentality, it was triggered. And I thought that when people pointed things out to me, I thought they were attacking me. Mm-hmm. So there was no way for me to look internally to see what people, I couldn't look from their perspective, because my perspective was that I was being attacked because of what I was carrying up here, mm-hmm. in my mind, for those that are listening. It was like little by little, I was being broken down, you know, to have a different posture. When my posture changed, then everything changed. When I was able to walk in humility and listen from a place of humility, then everything changed. And when I, you know, if y'all looking for a way to overcome the victim mentality, humility is the answer.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you said so much good stuff that if people could hear with their hearts, talking about vulnerability was a good segue into this question. And I didn't even know we were going to touch on it, but you started out saying you didn't know. We don't know what we don't know. And where would you place exposure on the totem pole, low or high? Because when we've only been around a certain environment, we really don't know what we don't know. And exposure is a big deal for me because it opens your eyes. It gives you a whole new scenery. And exposure, because I'm hearing you say your posture had to be right. And that is very, very true. So talk about exposure a little bit. And then I want to say, what made you stick it out? Because if you're around someone that you're going to trust with your future, they're helping you become self-aware, getting in touch with your identity. What would make you put up with it? Because you had triggers that mm-hmm. were from your past, and I'm sure that mm-hmm. was not comfortable. Tell me, how did you endure that until you came to a place of maturity? So I knew I threw a lot on your plate. If you could pick through it and share a little bit.
Yes, of course. Writing it down as you go, as you're talking. So exposure is huge. But I think the other part to exposure is the person making a choice mm-hmm. to accept mm-hmm. exposure. And what I mean by accept exposure, if you're looking to get out of what you're in or change into a better person, let's just mm-hmm. say that, then you also have to make a choice to get out what you're in. You have to make a choice to change your surroundings, change people, because you can be exposed to the right person. But if you go back home to people that continue to feed your mind about things that you're already familiar with and that get triggered, then you're not going to accept that exposure, what you were exposed to. So it's, I won't say it's null and void, because I believe that seeds can be planted and at the right time, it can, you know, bring forth a harvest. But at that moment, it can delay your development and what you're actually looking for. So as you're exposed, because everybody wants something new, you have to choose as well. As I'm exposed to this, what is coming from this exposure? What things are adding to my life? Now I'm looking at my life and what things do I need to take away so that it doesn't conflict with what's being added to me mm-hmm. from exposure. So
choices.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, exposure is really, really big. But at the same time, make a choice to make a change in your surroundings so that what you are exposed to, it actually sinks into who you are and you can hear it for what it, you know, whatever, or see it for what it is, and
make
not what
a choice to make a choice to make a change. Wow, that was good. The last part of it before we go to our next question was, so did I hear you say, and this is my interpretation of all that you said, because you said so much about the experience, was it the product, the fruit? Did you see value in the process which made you stick it out? Because my question was, what made you stick it out when you were being triggered? You know, maybe you got frustrated or angry. What made you stay? And let me go to the Bible. What made you stay on the potter's wheel?
Mm-hmm. Stay on the potter's wheel. Wow.
Because you had choices. You could have chosen.
I did.
You could have chose to stay status quo. There had to be something of value that made you stay till you got past the triggers. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what made me stay, but I'm just trying to, because for me, yeah, I'm trying to find the words, because for me, I'm just saying what happened for me. I knew that I was on the potter's wheel. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that I was on the potter's wheel, I'm submitting to the potter's hand.
Come on.
And so that I knew that. And so you, like you said, but it was a real place for me where, yeah, triggers did go off. And sometimes while being on the potter's wheel, I was frustrated, but I knew that I had to stay there. I knew that I had to stay there. And not only that, because now, you know, prophecies are a big thing, and it should be, you know, but a lot of people don't see prophecies seen through because there's a lot that we have to do on our end.
Do the work.
So, you know, for me, I was reminded of the different prophecies. And one prophecy in particular was saying, said to stay committed. Stay committed, meaning for me at different points in my life, stay where you are. And not only that, another thing that helped me is that I was able to see the fruit coming from my life, even while I was being frustrated, you know, with different things. I was able to see the fruit coming from my life. I was able to see the words that were spoken to me, the accountability, you know, partners, how they love me and how it got me to different levels in my life or different places in my life where I was able to be fruitful. And I had been more fruitful than I had ever been in my life. So that was a big difference for me. Not only that, if I was frustrated, God has a way of keeping you on the potter's wheel because he will send people to you that, you know, you don't have any connection with, but they watch you from afar and they will say, man, you've grown so much in X amount of time. And if I did, you know, the math to X amount of time, it was when I made a choice to change and be under, you know, account, be accountable to, you know, the people that I trusted. So, you know, God, he really carried me through those times because there were times that I wanted to give up. And actually, I semi gave up. I didn't give up all the way, you know, but I got so frustrated to the point where I'm like, I'm gonna be real. I'm like, man, I can't be this bad. You know, I can't, you know, be this type of person because I, you know, there it goes again. Like I'm looking at what I think of myself rather than the person was looking from the outside, looking in and where I needed to go. So
that was the victim side. That was the last bit of residue.
Exactly.
How do you speaking up as well?
And the
twisted perspective, it's not an issue of that bad, but there's more. It's kind of like the student who's the knucklehead in the class who happens to be the smartest kid in the class too. So the teacher is harder on that student because she knows or he knows that student can produce more. But you said something like, wow, we have to see when we know we're in the center of God's will that it is God that's chiseling away at us. And God uses relationships. You talked about those ships, the broadcast that you watch, but God uses relationships to perfect us, to show us the, you know, the size of us that needs to be dealt with. I love that you said you stayed committed, which means to me, you gotta, if you want to bloom, get planted. You can't keep plucking up your roots and running, get planted. That's why what you talked about with accountability is so incredibly key. Find the right person that you can reveal yourself and you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
I know I see your eyes. what are you thinking?
No, like you stirred up so much in me while you were talking because you're saying that relationships help you, you know, become that better person. And I was thinking of the scripture, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
And a lot of people use that scripture when they talk about encouraging and, you know, things that make you feel good. But if you're looking to get sharpened, you have to, something coarse has to, you have to go against that. And that's not, I'm saying that iron or whatever has feelings, but let's just personalize it. Like, it's not going to feel good if something is going up against you. Something is causing friction so that you can be sharpened. So you have to look at that as well. And then you mentioned like, you know, a teacher and a student relationship, like a student can put on like they don't know or be the class clown, but the teacher can see because they see behind the scenes what the student produces in their work. And I was reminded of when I was in college And there was this one teacher that I did not like. And I didn't like her because she challenged me. And I mm-hmm. felt like she was picking on me because she challenged me. Like, I felt like everybody else, you know, they can submit anything. And my paper was good. Victim mentality again. And one day, I'll never forget it. One day I did a presentation, turning my paper, and I knew everything was right. And she gave me a zero on the paper. And I went up to her and I challenged her. And I was like, why do I have a zero? I got, you know, the same answers. And she wouldn't give me an answer. And so I got so upset that I left the classroom in the middle of class, went in the bathroom, cried my eyes out because I'm like, what is the deal with this teacher? And she waited to call me in after class. And she said, the reason why I'm hard on you because you have more in you that you're not willing to give. So it reminded me of that. And it just goes back to speak about relationships as well, is that, you know, you can't always take it personal when somebody's being hard on you. Like I said, they see the potential in you, and what you're giving them doesn't match the potential that they see in you. So
absolutely. Accountability, right person. So incredibly key. The title of your book, I don't think it's fully loaded. I mean, Hush Girl, you have the right. And I highlight it. You have the right. You don't have to be silent. You can run your mouth and, you know, lose in life all the time. Why did you choose those choice of words? You have the right to remain silent. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. Well, initially, I was thinking about, I've never been arrested, but I've seen shows where they say you have the right to be silent. Anything that you say, they can use against you.
Right.
And so in the court of law. And so initially I was thinking of that where, you know, sometimes it's your right to remain silent for your good.
Real good.
Because if you say anything, especially in questionable, tough season, it will be used against you. We got to understand that this fight that we fight, like the Bible says, it's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities. And what happens is, and it's because I experience this, what happens is when we speak certain things out of impulse and emotionalism and whatever the case may be in that situation, the enemy can come back and use it against us when we're trying to move forward, and it can push us back into a place where we're not making any progression at all. So it's better. And another reason why is I know a lot of times it's frowned upon, especially on women, for us to remain silent. Like women, you know, we don't want to be silent. But I wanted to also, you know, shine the light that it could be, it's a good thing to remain silent because you can get good fruit out of your silence. You can become the person that you want to be or you see yourself being out of your silence. You can reach your goals out of your silence. Sometimes it's our words that, I don't want to say this, but it's our words that disqualify us.
It's true.
Because we're not, you know, silent enough to learn more about ourselves and hear what Holy Spirit wants us to do. Because what I found out is that a lot of times when Holy Spirit leads us to certain places or says certain things to us, it don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
And what happens is that we try to put our words on it so that it can make sense. And you just all out of God's will. So in times where it doesn't make sense, just be quiet. Hush, girl.
It says questionable seasons too. Ties right into not always quiet, but in questionable seasons, you can exercise your right so that it doesn't come back and harm you.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke in Hush Girl about something that's very dear to my heart, and that's self-care. And as women, that can be, and especially if you're a mother, women, period, we're nurturers. We like to care, not to generalize, but typically we're the ones that are the nurturers, though we like to care for everyone. But you had a chapter in your book that it wasn't called self-care. It was called depression. Mm-hmm. And and mental health is a big deal. And everybody that has mental health concerns doesn't mean that they have to have a diagnosed, you know, condition. But all that we're dealing with in the world today, I know as a pastor, I attend different webinars and seminars and things like that online. And they're saying people that have never hit the grid before with having, they're now having mental health concerns. They may not have a diagnosis, but they are depressed. They're full of anxiety. They're having panic attacks. And these are people that have never had an issue with it. But in your, one of the chapters in your book that was on depression, it screamed about the importance of self-care and being aware. I think the word that you used was stuck. Can you talk to us about in our silent period when we need to hush, girl, dealing with being stuck or dealing with some form of depression or mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, mental health, you don't have to be like have a special diagnosis. I think that it's anything that stops you from being your best self, anything internal that stops you from being your best self. And within that chapter, I like you said, I was stuck, you know, at one point. And I was stuck because, and it happens a lot. It happens in ministry. It happens, you know, if people are just workaholics, you can give out so much that you will literally have the desire, or you know that there's more that you can give or to do, but you don't have, you're not motivated. You don't have the, you know, the energy to do it. And it's because you burnt out. You burnt out. And a lot of times we don't take the time to hush. And hush in this aspect, meaning be still. We don't take time to be still, to really see that, you're burnt out. You're burnt out. And when you're burnt out, you need to take the time that you need so that you can be fulfilled again, so that you can do the things that you want to do. There's scripture in the Bible that says, love God as, or love your neighbors as you love yourself. Jesus was saying that. And I think sometimes the disconnect in loving others, our neighbors, comes because we don't know how to love on ourselves. We don't know how to care for ourselves. We don't know how to, you know, make sure that we're taken care of. And that was the biggest thing for me in this chapter, is that, you know, it was a moment where I realized that, you know, you serve so much that you forget to serve yourself. And it's super important. I mean, I think about, you know, with God. Now we're talking about this magnificent God, omnipotent, all power, like his power don't run out at all.
Thank goodness.
Yet when he created the earth, he still took a day of rest.
Amen.
I mean, did he need it? I don't know, but he took the day. And I, what were you about to say?
No, I just chuckled at that. You don't know if he needed it, but he took it.
He took it. And I think it's because, you know, every good father wants to be an example to their children. I mean, that's just how I see it. And if he found it important to take a day of rest, then why can't we, you know, take care of ourselves and rest every once in a while so that we can pour out and be the best person that we can be? So
I think it's something that I say myself, that when we're stuck, in the case that you're talking about from your book, it's the light on the dashboard of our life. You know, like when the light comes on the dashboard in your car, you can keep going and going and going if you want to, but the expense to get that vehicle repaired is going up and up and up. Whereas if you would just pull over, taken care of, it's kind of like in life when we're stuck, our creativity is gone. Maybe we're a lot more edgy than we normally are. That is the light on the dashboard that is saying you need to go get checked, take some rest, take that Sabbath. That's what you were talking about, a time of rest. And because we can't give from empty vessels, we want to be these heroes and sheroes, but in order to do that, we have to be replenished and refilled ourselves.
I was going to say, like, even like you said, heroes and sheroes. I mean, if you look at the comic books, if you look at the heroes, they had to take a time where they weren't always in their suits. Mm-hmm. So take your suit off and just, you know, love on yourself, you know. And I have those times where, and my son knows now, like, listen, don't mess with me. This is my quiet time. If you need to do so, if you need help, then it has to be an emergency or something, you know, that you can't do, and I'll help. But don't mess up my quiet time because I need it.
It's replenishing. It's pouring back in. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me this evening and sharing your heart about Hush Girl and the many different. I only touched on a few of the concepts that even if the words are not spoken or written in the book, the concepts are crystal clear. On, you know, the impact that they can have on your life. How do the viewers get a copy of Hush Girl? How do they connect with you, find out more about you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been fun. So thank you so much. And it was just a really good time. For me, you can connect with me by going to my website, www.simplytiffany.net. Or I'm most active on my Instagram page. So my handle is I am simply Tiffany, or you can find me on Facebook and you can just search for my name, Tiffany White.
Real good. Tiffany, thank you so very much. And we pray God's blessings upon all your current endeavors and anything that you have in the future. And I'm sure you'll be back on the platform soon. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Morning Tea, where Jesus Christ is center stage. He is the game changer. Thank you for listening.